I'd like to ask our students to take out their study Bibles, if they would. I'm purposely preaching out of the CSB this morning so that they can get practice with their study Bibles. We got them the CSB study Bible, but this is for our graduates, but it's also for all of us. This year I'm making it my purpose to speak on wisdom because that's what we need for graduates, but we need it through all of our lives. We're just reminded of that in a special way each year at this time. And so everyone wants to give advice to graduates. Anybody ever notice that? Everybody's got all this grand, great advice. Follow your heart. Do this. You know, we've been the wind under your wings and all these wonderful. Anybody heard all that at a commencement speech? Yeah, you heard all that. Been there. And then we're being marketed because sometimes we don't know what to get you graduates, right? So we're like, maybe we'll get you a gift book. So I was looking at gift books for graduates. Here are some titles: Promises for Graduates, Wisdom for Graduates, 1 Minute Prayers for Graduates. My advice would be no, don't pray for just 1 minute. A Little God Time for Graduates, 50 Lessons for Graduates. But I love the fact that God gives counsel for all of us at every stage of life. And we find a lot of that counsel in the book of Proverbs. So take a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and if you are with us on most Sundays, you know that I come away and I try to give you a big idea. And that is one thing that you take away from the message that you remember. And the big idea today is this: get wisdom. Get wisdom. A lot of pursuits in life. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 9. This will match perfectly what our graduates have for the CSB. Follow along. Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. Listen, sons, to a father's discipline. And pay attention so that you may gain understanding. For I am giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. When I was a son, pause, who is the I here? Solomon. With my father, pause, who was his father? King David. So, verse 3, when I was a son with my father, tender and precious to my mother, which was Bathsheba, he taught me and said, your heart must hold on to my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words from my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom, and she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. Wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. Let's say it together. What? Get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty. Father, you are the source for true wisdom. And so we honor you. May we consider your name weighty. Father, may we not think that this is all about us, but that it's really all about you. Father, I pray that you would set our hearts free from the world's wisdom, the wisdom of false religions, the wisdom of thinking that we have all that we need in ourselves to determine our way of life. And I pray that we would not depend on any other person for our true final source of wisdom, but you. So we pray that you would do your work in all of our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Do you see a difference between God's wisdom here in Proverbs chapter 4 and man's wisdom? God speaks in Proverbs 4 with such certainty, with such confidence. And I don't think you missed the central point, get wisdom. And I want to just bring out a few things about wisdom. Okay? Number one, I want you to see that the wisest choice you can make is to pursue wisdom. So he says, get wisdom, and to get wisdom, you've got to pursue it. That is the wisest choice you can make. Now, I understand that there are a lot of choices and decisions in life. Where are you going to invest your money so that in 50, 60 years or whatever, or less than that, that you're going to have enough to live? Who do you marry? Where are you going to go to college? Where are you going to work? Those are decisions that need wisdom. And above all those decisions, did you know that if you pursue wisdom, you get all the other decisions made? It's not easy, but you get wisdom and you get all those other decisions made. So you make one decision, one to make, just one decision to make, get wisdom. And I want to show you how to do that in a few moments. But we have a lot of decisions to make, and yet really only one decision. Wisdom, what is it? David and Solomon talk about it being wisdom and understanding and knowledge. That's all under the same basic umbrella. And wisdom is this, the skill of looking at life through God's eyes and conforming your life to God. It's a skill. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, it talks about artisans who made things with their hands. They made silversmithing and goldsmithing and carpenters, and they had wisdom, that's skill. In Proverbs, it is the skill of looking at life through God's eyes, and you look at this world around you, and the world says, this is what you want, materialism. You want pleasure, hedonism. You want philosophy. You want this, and God says, no, 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 look at life through my eyes, and you want Jesus. Get wisdom. So biblical wisdom includes a skill, but it's much more than that. It's about the attitudes of our heart toward God. It's about, do I make myself God so I can just make up whatever I think is true? Or is God God and I am man and I must submit to him? So David is saying to his young son, and his young son, Solomon, has grown up by the time Proverbs 4 comes around, and now apparently something that David said took with Solomon, at least for a while, and Solomon is bringing it back out. Solomon's got it right up here, wisdom, and he's got a lot of wisdom in his life. Later on, we're going to see it didn't always come out. But David is a king. Notice something. David is a king. Solomon is a king. And they're both pursuing wisdom, and that tells you that wisdom is the pursuit of kings. Why? What's so special about a king that he needs wisdom? Kings make tough decisions, right? They decide when to go out to army or go out to war and muster the army. They decide how much to charge in taxes. They decide who lives. They decide who dies. They decide the laws. They need wisdom. But so do we, because we're making tough decisions too, aren't we? No one lives a life of their own. The way you live now, you are impacting many, many people that you don't even know. You're impacting the next generation. So if you choose in your character to follow whatever the whim of the moment is, you are going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt other people. So wisdom is the pursuit of kings, but wisdom needs to be the pursuit of anybody who makes decisions. And that's all of us. And what he says in this passage is, you can't afford to flush wisdom. I think sometimes we just flush wisdom all around us. We choose the wrong types of relationships, and so we flush wisdom down the drain. And we choose just to do what we feel like at the moment, and we flush wisdom down the drain. And pretty soon, this has a cumulative effect, and it comes back. And one of the messages of Proverbs is that if you don't listen to wisdom now, wisdom will laugh at you later. We're not going to get into that text, but wisdom will laugh at you. Well, what do you mean? Here's what it is. You pursue a lifestyle apart from God, and guess what happens? You end up over here in destruction, and wisdom is over here saying, I told you. Should have listened to me. And you're going, oh, a life of regret. But what David and Solomon say is that to get wisdom, it costs. Whatever you have to sell, whatever you have to sacrifice for wisdom, do it. In all you're getting, whatever you get in life, whether you get a nice new car or you get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, if you get wealth and accumulate wealth and you get family and you get a career, whatever you get, be sure above all to get wisdom, because the passage says wisdom is supreme. I would much rather live on a dime and be wise than to have great riches and to be a fool. So the wisest choice you can make is to get wisdom. It takes skill and it takes wisdom to learn how to get a job. It takes skill, it takes wisdom to have relationships that last for a lifetime. It takes skill and wisdom to have a family. It takes skill and wisdom to manage money in a way that has eternal impact. See, we're so busy taking and retaking the SAT test, right? Because we want to get that scholarship, and I understand that. I wouldn't want to show you my grades when I was in high school. And I remember that we were taking the ACT at that time. It was abysmally low. I'm like, I'm not taking that thing again. Do we work as hard to attain wisdom as we do academic knowledge? Do we push just as hard to developing character? And the passage says certain things that we are to do. These are verbs with wisdom. It says get it. It says don't forget it. Don't turn away from it. Don't abandon it. It says love wisdom. It says cherish it. It says embrace wisdom. You don't have to have a certain GPA to have wisdom. Aren't you glad about that? You don't have to know a CEO of a great company to have wisdom. Wisdom is available to all. So it's available to you this morning, and you need it, and I need it. And I just want to tell these men and women of the 2018 class, you guys are on the edge of something big. You really are. You are on the edge of something that is going to launch you into your lifetime. And how you choose in these upcoming weeks and months, if you put wisdom above all, if you make the one choice for wisdom, I promise you, I don't know what's going to happen in your life, what you might face, but I promise you, you keep choosing wisdom and you will be a wise person close to God and you will live without regret. As a pastor, I've seen a lot of people with regret. They come to the end or they come to two-thirds of the way through their life or later on and they say, oh, if only I had spent more time with my children. If only I had done this. If only I had devoted my time to my spouse. If only I hadn't made that decision to step out. If only I... Wisdom keeps you from regret. It's a wonderful thing that God has given us. I didn't know how graduation really was a step, just a big step. But 29 years ago, I know that makes me old, I walked across the stage at Fruita Monument High School, and I got my diploma. I see one of the graduates snicker in there, me saying I'm 29 years away from graduation. It's amazing. It goes fast. I don't remember any of my graduating class, hardly. I remember a few. There were hundreds of them, but I do remember one specifically, and his name was Don Green. He was an amazing guy. He was the coolest guy. He grew a mustache. That's pretty cool. Seth, aren't you? Where's Seth? Aren't you? Yeah, right there. Oh, I think you shaved it off, didn't you? Oh, that was looking really good. He was rocking this mustache last night. He drove this cool little VW Bug. Seth didn't, but Don Green did. That was before the days when VW Bugs were really kind of in. And that was in a school where all guys drove pickup trucks, and they were rednecks, and they had chewing tobacco sticking out their mouth. And Don wasn't all like that. He drove this little yellow VW Bug. But he had some demons. I really liked him, but he had some demons. And it was kind of weird. Nobody could really figure him out. He was headed really in a self-destructive way, and he would show up to school, and he'd be perfect in attendance for a long, long time. And then all at once, you wouldn't see him for a while. I'm like, well, where's Don? And then he'd just show up again. And then he would disappear. And finally, after a while, you just kind of lose track of him. And I lost track of him. I went ahead and graduated, and he had kind of disappeared. I wasn't even thinking about him. And the next thing I know, I hear that Don Green had driven his little VW Bug off this cliff right here, this one right there. It's called Cold Shivers Point. Now, I know Don, or I knew him well enough to know that drugs, alcohol, violence, he was quite a fighter. He would get into some pretty nasty fights. He was living a self-destructive lifestyle. I don't know what it was, but something drove him literally over that cliff. He didn't choose wisdom. He had a lot going for him. He had way more going for him in personality and in abilities and smarts than most of us ever did. But he didn't choose wisdom. His life didn't last very long, and some people's lives last a long, long time in foolishness. So wisdom involves living your life in the present in a way that you're not going to regret in the future. So the best choice you can make is to pursue wisdom. But let me show you something else. And this has to do with Jesus Christ, and I will get to that in a moment. But wisdom has a cumulative effect. What do I mean by that? A little wisdom begets more wisdom, begets more wisdom. You make this wise choice, and it leads to that wise choice, and to that wise choice, and it becomes, in a sense, a little bit of a straighter, simpler path the more you choose wisdom. But when you choose folly, it becomes a darker and a darker and a darker path, and it becomes easier to choose what's wrong. So if you make that first decision, God, I want to be wise. Help me to be wise. Chapter 1, verse 5. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. What does that mean? It means that a wise person adds to the wisdom. A wise person never truly comes to the point where they say, I've had enough. I don't need any more wisdom. I'm smarter than everybody else, and I don't need to listen to anybody. Now, I would imagine that there are a lot of people, maybe some here today, who collect things. Cars, baseball caps, baseball cards, Happy Meal toys. Used to be people would collect stamps. Some people collect coins. But a truly wise person, he or she collects wisdom. You just can't get enough. You just need more wisdom, more wisdom, more skill, more understanding of God's perspective on life. And you want to learn more, and you want to grow more. So a truly wise person never comes to that point where he or she says, I've got enough. And that's one of the beauties of wisdom. You commit yourself to a wise lifestyle, and it just gets wiser and wiser and wiser, and really more beautiful all the time, more useful all the time to other people. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says it this way, instruct the wise and he will be wiser still. See this accumulative effect? Teach the righteous and he will learn more. Are you a wise person? Or are you just kind of sitting there going, well, I've had enough. I know it all. I have attained a level. No one has attained a level of ultimate wisdom. God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ only. So if you want to desire to get wisdom, I've got good news. It compounds. Investors will say, you know, if you put your money in here at this interest level and you put in this much each month, it's going to what? Is it going to just addition? No. Multiplication? No, it's going to compound. It's just going to grow exponentially. That's the way wisdom is. Just keep making wise choices, and pretty soon the cumulative effect is more than what you've put into it. That's the beauty of wisdom. Now, let me show you what's hard about wisdom. Thirdly, wisdom requires the discipline of active listening. I see that right here in Proverbs 1:5. Let a wise person listen. So I told you how often I come away from commencement addresses, and I think we all do. We kind of come away sometimes with some mixed feelings because, you know, what do these words mean? But let me give you one example. Ellen DeGeneres was giving the 2009 Tulane University commencement address, and she said, never follow anyone else's path. Don't give advice. It will come back and bite you. Don't take anyone's advice. So my advice to you is to be true to yourself and everything will be fine. That's not good advice. Let a wise person listen. You could say take advice. Make sure that you're getting it from a source that is wise. In order to become wise, we have to listen. I looked up the word listen and hear, and it appears 18 times in Proverbs. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Pay attention. Listen to instruction. Don't ignore it. Listen closely. Pay attention to the words of the wise. Listen to your father. Listen to your mother. And you know, the word listen is different than the word hear. We can hear someone's voice and not listen to them. We can hear what they're saying and it's just going, whatever. I want to talk about this. Or I want to do that. And I've already got what you said. I've got it downloaded. Let's move on. That's not listening. Listening is in the text and in the Hebrew is the idea of listening with the purpose of interweaving it into your heart and mind and then taking action on it. Obedience. So you're listening to someone and you're saying, that is good counsel and I'm going to do it. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wiser later in life. Remember, I said just a few minutes ago that wisdom is living today in such a way that it's going to be beneficial for you in the future. Foolishness is where you say, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to do whatever my heart tells me to do. Listen, the heart is deceitful above all things. Don't follow your heart. Where have you ever heard that? Probably nowhere. Don't follow your heart. Everybody says, follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. Follow God's heart. Follow God's word. Follow the heart of wisdom. Your heart is filled with emotions, and we hate to say it, it's filled with deceit, and it will lie to you. And it will tell you to walk out of relationships that you should be staying in. It will tell you to hurt people. It will tell you to do whatever feels good at the moment. And doing what feels good in the moment looks a lot like Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the flesh, which is strife and envy and immorality and destructiveness. Here's the hard part about listening is that we don't want to be told. Listening to someone pontificate on some subject is so mind-numbingly boring. And truth is, not a single one of us probably likes to have our flaws pointed out. We don't. I don't. But we have to make our choice. Are we going to listen and are we going to pursue foolishness or are we going to pursue wisdom through listening? And one of the hardest things about listening is that you're listening, in most cases, to a flawed individual as they correct you, and you can see all their flaws. Parents and children have this all the time. Because we parents were flawed. And it's like, I see this in you, and yet you're telling me to do this, and it doesn't match, and that's true. But God wants us to listen, and he wants to lead us into the treasure of knowledge and wisdom. And truth of the matter is, I told you that it costs. Wisdom costs? Well, it costs a lot of listening. Now, let me give you number four. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. You cannot ignore God in your life and your decisions and be wise. You just can't do it. You can't flout God and be wise. You can't pick and choose what you want to hear from God and be wise. You can't think little of what God says and be wise. Fearing God is where it all begins. To fear God means to have reverence toward him. To consider him weighty. Let me ask you this. When someone takes the Lord's name in vain, does it hurt your ears? Does it hurt your soul? Fearing God. It's not just an Old Testament concept. The book of Hebrews says that we have to do with this. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, and we have to do with this living God. We are accountable to him. And in a moment, he can take our life, and you say, but my God is a God of love. Yes, but he's also a God of justice. That's the God of the Bible. And if it weren't for Jesus Christ, we would be suffering the wrath of God. Even in the New Testament, we see people who were probably saved. Maybe saved, knew Christ as their Savior. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. God snuffs out their human life. We need a sense, and the reason why is Scripture says you lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to God. You didn't honor him. You didn't reverence him. It's not about us. It's about him. And we have to fear God. And when you fear God, then you get wisdom. And Scripture says in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. How do you know if you fear God? You're running away from evil. You're going the other direction. If you don't fear God, you're just saying, oh, I can do whatever I want. God will forgive me, blah, 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 and just do whatever you want. You turn from evil. Ultimately, it's a decision of who will be your master, yourself or your God, the true God of the Bible. Everyone is serving something. I've never met a person who wasn't serving something. We can serve other people, friends, employers, acquaintances. Whatever they do, we do. But, you know, people are lousy masters because they're here today and gone tomorrow. We can serve money. Money's a lousy master. It will eventually consume you. We can have a master of a drug or alcohol or gambling or pornography or life-dominating sins that just overtake us and so that we can't even function. But there's only one master worthy of your life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died and he rose again for your sins. And you know the great thing that Scripture says? It says, neither is there salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We don't need anyone or anything but Jesus. We don't need a church. We don't need man-made traditions. We don't need a bishop. We don't need an elder. We don't need a pastor. We need Jesus. It's faith alone in Jesus. Faith being defined as simply where you sit right now, coming to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I'm trusting you. That's it. I am a lost sinner and I want to change, but I can't change. You change me. Save my soul. That's it. See, we forget John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's coming to a point where we're sick and tired of our sins. We're sick and tired of whatever it is that we're relying on for eternal life or significance in life, and we're turning to Christ and saying, you are the Lord, save me. Confess your sins. Everyone has a master. Do you fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord through Christ, you will have wisdom. That's the one decision. Get wisdom. Lastly, wisdom is as wisdom does. What do I mean by that? I can tell you that I know all these things with my mind. I can stand up here and say it is not wise to do this, and it's wise to do that. I can speak to your mind. But where does wisdom come out? In the life. Wisdom is as wisdom does. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a young man is known by his actions, by whether his behavior is pure and upright. You see, let's talk Solomon for a second. Solomon, outside of Jesus Christ, was probably the wisest man ever to live on the face of the earth. God gave him special wisdom, we're told in the Old Testament. He knew a lot of stuff. But he decided, and I don't know where it was probably started in regard to God said, don't marry foreign, unbelieving wives. And he just said, God, I don't care what you say. I need to marry these wives because I need foreign alliances with Egypt and these other countries. And I'm going to go ahead and marry them because it is prudent and it's wise to do that. And but that was human wisdom. He wasn't obeying God. And that one decision led to another decision. And another decision, and another decision. And pretty soon, we read the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote, and I believe it was later on in his life when he had pursued human wisdom and his own pursuits. And when you read Ecclesiastes, you read a man of regret. I poured it out on wine. I poured it out on buildings and materialism, and I poured it out on just partying, and I've wasted so much. And he says, this life is meaningless under the sun. Listen, if you follow foolishness, you will come to a point where you look at your life and you say, this is meaningless. Is that how you want to live? I don't think you do. Wisdom is as wisdom does. I have a feeling that probably everything I've said this morning, you've heard before. I think that's a fair assessment. You probably could have come up here and said the very same thing, maybe just a little different way, right? How many of you have heard this stuff before? Yeah, I know. But if it's here, and not here, and not here, what do we really have? You just have intellect. If wisdom doesn't affect your decisions to where you're ready to take a leap into the darkness and you say, no, 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 this is hard today to stick with this, but I'm not looking at today, and today I feel like having premarital sex, but no, no, I'm going to wait for my marriage, and right now I feel like clicking on some things on the computer, and no, no, listen, wisdom says, and right now I just want to pursue whatever I want to pursue. I just want to take a few months off and just party it up. Listen, what does wisdom say? God tells us to live in a godly way, and he tells us that he will reward those who seek him. Get wisdom. Solomon had a lot of intellect, a lot going on in his brain. He'd have blown the SAT open wide. But he wasn't wise when he came to a certain point in his life. So get wisdom. Whatever else you get, I hope you get great stuff. Great people in your life. Great experiences. Get wisdom. Get it above all. So as I close, I want to ask you, are you in Christ? I'm not asking, do you belong to a church? I'm not asking if you have a religion. I'm asking, do you have Jesus Christ alone? By trusting him alone as Savior. That can happen right here, right now. You don't need some spiritual leader praying over you or some experience of baptism or communion or something else. You know, those things just can get in the way of simple saving faith in Jesus alone. This is what the Bible says. This is not what I say. This is enough to tell us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. All this other stuff is just works. And if we can get into heaven by works, then we can boast. And God says, you can't, lest any man should boast. Simply open your heart and life to Christ and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I've messed this thing up. Please save me. You died on the cross and rose again for me. So I want to talk about fragrances as I close this. Have you ever been given a gift that had a certain fragrance on it? I remember years ago, someone gave us a gift. No one here gave us a gift, my whole family a gift, and we could smell on it this perfume. You're like, oh, that smells like them. Now, you can have good smells like perfume, and you can have bad smells. Okay, like a farmer walks into his barn, and he doesn't have to roll around in the manure, but he comes out, and you're like, I can tell where you've been. So it is with wisdom and foolishness. When we spend time with foolish people all the time, oh, they might be okay people. They might be, they're all right, but when we spend time with worldly people who have different values from what God's word says and what we know God wants, guess what? We don't have to roll around in the mud to start smelling like it. And then we have the fragrance of fools. But then scripture says in Proverbs, walk with the wise and you'll become what? Wise. But a companion of fools becomes a fool. So you walk with wise people, and you know what? You might say, man, I am a long way from being wise, but the more time you spend with wise people, the wisdom fragrance rubs off on you. And pretty soon people are looking at you and saying, where'd you come up with that? You got such wisdom. Your life, it's lining up. How is it? You have the fragrance of wisdom. Would you bow your heads? I'm just asking you to make one choice this morning. Get wisdom. Lots of decisions being made right now, right here. A lot of things you're trying to decide, but above all, get wisdom. If that for you means entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, then do it today, right now. Open your heart and life to him and receive him. He says if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. He will not cast you out. And if you've made that decision, then you just keep making the decision to get wisdom, that you will sell everything to get wisdom, to hang around wise people, to live in a wise way, to fear the Lord. Just get wisdom, whatever it takes. Father, as we come this morning, we are so thankful that you give wisdom in a world that pursues foolishness. And we admit that we are so bent to foolishness because it feels good in the moment. But help us, Lord, to lift up our eyes and look to the future and to look to our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, that if there are any here who really have been relying on their own religion or their own thoughts for eternal life, that they would turn to Jesus today and help us to get wisdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.